Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
March roars in like a lion and skips out like a lamb. And in between, there's mud, as Montana writer Rick Bass knows well.
At no point of the year are we more incorporated into the seasons, more completely owned by the world and the woods. Summer and autumn, and even the first holidays of winter, are traditionally the seasons we think of as most easily summoning the joy of the human condition. Yet in February, March, and April, the slog-o-matic mud season, never are we quite so owned by the beautiful world. Beaten down, made malleable as if by the accruing weight of the ivory snow itself, we become tempered to the very shape of the land. We become fitted to its rhythms and processes as surely as if we were buried by that snow and are pressed flat against the darkened ground, our bellies spooned against each curve of soil, each swell of stone. The snow above presses down, pushes on our backs and arms and legs, kneading and sculpting us, while at the same time it impresses upon us some deeper unspoken counsel. On the surface, there's very little difference. In fact, the sameness seems to be spreading as the snow, which initially mimicked the sleeping shapes of every humped and curved and buried thing, becomes deeper, smoother, more homogeneous. But down below, things are moving, being reshaped, even if only a tiny bit each day, by the mounting pressure. The bears and frogs are sleeping, letting the season pass on by. They're largely undisturbed by the snow's slow but powerful dynamics, and the songbirds and so many others have fled south, likewise disengaged from its incremental but forceful grip. But for those of us who remain, whether buried by the snow or shrugging off each day's mantle, we are always emerging, changed and sculpted a little more each day. The valley owns us as surely as it owns any of its rocks or rivers, forest or fields, or any of its other animals. Everything still seems the same in March. But beneath the snow and within our blood, there are stirrings that tell us, in our own small changes, that the land is changing too.
Writer Rick Bass lives in the Yaak Valley near Troy, Montana. This essay is from his forthcoming book, The Wild Marsh. You can hear our program anytime on our website or get a download for your MP3 player. The address is loe.org. That's loe.org. There you'll also find pictures and more information about our stories, and we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at comments@loe.org. Once again, comments@loe.org. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144. And you can call our listener's line at 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988. Just ahead, protesting coal, past and present. Demonstrators take to the streets today. In 1914, a miner's strike turned deadly.
They understood, you know, it was really their labor that made this world go round. And so they understood that by cutting off the flow of energy to the broader society, that that was really the strongest lever that they had to secure what they wanted.
Demonstrating against coal, then and now, coming up on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.